وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم بعد. Do to Allah, we ask Allah to you know, to send His peace and blessings and to exalt the mention of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, I think this is first our Tuesday. Class materializes. Alhamdulillah. May God bless us in granting receiving topic and help us both act upon it to the best of our abilities. Verily, is able to. As mentioned, death. But I think the title that someone suggested, which I really liked, was "Oh, I have time." In other words, it's also known as procrastination. One of the more complicated words in English. But it sounds procrastination. Now it sounds nice, but the concept is not necessarily nice. This is over here, so I can think it'll be more because I feared. Okay, concept as I said is nice, but the okay that's not working. The concept is not. Procrastinate is the idea that is really an inspiration of the devil. The concept of sin is a strictly devilish concept and attitude. The reason why that we have learned is from the teachings of Islam that to rage can be and hasten to it the Lord. Anything which negates that or creates an obstacle becomes from the other source. So we have two sources. We have the sources from Allah Azza wa Jal, the recommendations of Allah, the things which are pleasing to Allah, things which get us closer to Allah. And anything which negates that is that of the devil. Things which are pleasing to them are from the devil, and they will get us closer to the devil. And we have to look at procrastination and categorize it under one of these two categories. Does it go under the things which Allah Azza wa Jal likes, or does it go under the things which Allah Azza wa Jal does not like? Doesn't like it if Allah made it forbidden, if Allah is from the devil. So what do you think? I know you think or delaying or postponing or saying, "Oh, I have time," strictly from the shaitan. Look, under the following narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he's towards the end of, if you had a plant, if you had some seeds in your hand, which you were on the verge of planting, and then, you know, it became evident to you that the judgment. The time has come for the day of judgment. Still plant that seed. Voice cutting off quite often. Well, keep in mind, today I'm not speaking where the internet is super. I'm speaking from the Dawah Center where the internet is not as super. So that's possibly why I'm cutting up. So, what do I do? Malish. Because I had a lecture here after Asr early. Home. Okay. Here we go. Better now. Alright. Oprah is inevitably from shaitan. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you were about to plant that seed and you knew that it's already the day of judgment, anyways, plant it.
Why?
Because Islam, in its basic teachings, requires and encourages the followers of that religion to hasten to do good, to compete in doing good. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as in a hadith, authentic narration of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, أخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمنكبي فقال يا ابن عمر كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر سبيل وكان عمر كان ابن عمر يقول إذا أصبحت فلا تنتظر المساء وإذا أمسيت فلا تنتظر الصباح وخذ من صحتك لمرضك ومن حياتك لموتك. Ibn Umar narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once grabbed him by his shoulder and he said, O son of Umar, be in this dunya like a stranger or like a wayfarer or a traveler. Be in this dunya like a stranger or like a traveler. And Ibn Umar used to say, in commenting on this prophetic teaching, he used to say, if you make it to the morning, do not expect the evening or the night. And if you make it to the night, then do not expect the morning. And take from your health to the time of illness, and take from your life to the time of death. Yeah, and you take advantage of the time where you are healthy before you reach a time where you become sick, and take advantage of the time while you are alive before you make it and you die and you don't get to benefit from the time. This narration is so profound and so clear cut as an evidence for what I've said, that I'm sure without even explaining it, most of you could agree that this narration directly and explicitly encourages the person, the Muslim, to be ever prepared for death. The Prophet ﷺ told Ibn Umar, be in this dunya like a stranger. And we need to pause for a short moment with the term stranger. A stranger is someone who does not belong. When you are in an environment where you feel that you don't belong, we can consider you linguistically and conceptually to be a stranger. A person who is not a stranger is a person who feels the feeling of one who's at home. So when you are at home, in your home country, in your local neighborhood, at your local restaurant, this is the time where you feel that you totally belong. Because everything which surrounds you is that which you have been familiar with, and that which you have been brought up upon. And so naturally you feel that sense of belonging. However, if you were to move out of your country to another city, or even move out of the country completely, not to another city, to another country, or even if you were to move to another continent, where the weather is different, the people are different, the culture is different, no matter how many years you spend in that new location, you will always feel like a stranger. And the only time you feel that you're home is when you go back home. Even if you do so annually during your vacation time, You still say, even if you've lived in your home country for 18 years, and for 30 years, still, even though you've lived in that foreign country longer than your home country, when you're going on vacation, you say, I'm going back home. Why? Because you never truly belong to a place where you are a stranger. People may talk different, they may act different, they may dress different, and they may behave different. And even if you imitate them, even if you imitate them and you become like them, still you're not acting according to the way you have been accustomed. And when you go back home and you go back to your old ways, then you start feeling that sense of belonging again, and you are no longer considered a stranger as you had been considered back when you were in that foreign country. Why am I elaborating on that? Because this has to do with the concept or the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Ibn Umar. He told him, be in this dunya like a stranger. Be in this world, in this worldly life, like a stranger. That means that do not feel that you belong. And brothers and sisters, let's be very frank with each other. Very frank. Which one of us does not feel that we belong? This is simply a visitor in this world, spending a short, you know, duration of time, and he's just about to take off and continue on his journey. Unfortunately, speaking about myself first, and ask Allah to pardon us, we may have lost this feeling. If not all the way, at least a big or a major part of it has been lost. And we have become over-attached to this worldly life. We have made it our home, even though our home is Jannah. Our home is paradise. Until one of us puts both of his feet in paradise, we are traveling. We are strangers. Belonging, the feeling of belonging, the feeling of contentment, the feeling of comfortability, the feeling of satisfaction in the ultimate sense does not exist truly in this world. Some elements of it exist because of faith in Allah. Because of the faith in Allah. Otherwise, the ultimate sense of these feelings only exists in Jannah. They only exist in Jannah. So until we develop this idea of being strangers, we will not be ready for death. And we will say, when someone says to us, you know, repent to Allah, change your ways, do good, or follow the teachings of Islam, we say, oh, I have time. Ba'den. Maybe you don't know this Arabic word, but it's very common among the Arabs. Inshallah. Ba'den. Inshallah. Ba'den. Inshallah. Later. There's always this procrastination. There's always this delaying. So, we need to then come to realize that Jannah is our home. Subsequently, my brothers and sisters, we need to start developing the feeling of strangers. Now, that does not mean that you live on a balcony, and it does not mean that you turn the streets into your home, and it does not mean that you leave school and you become uneducated. It does not mean anything extreme. We're not saying, يعني, that you abandon living. That's not what Allah Azza wa Jal expects of us either. In fact, we have been taught in the Quran, and we were commanded, for example, to eat and to drink and to take our adornment to every place of prostration. And Allah had made things halal, which He allowed us to enjoy. However, there are limitations for that. And furthermore, beyond and besides the limitations, we are not to become over attached to them. Please close the door. Someone open my door, just 1 second.
apologies. Ma'lish. Because I'm at the da'wah center and any non-Muslim can suddenly walk in and I have to entertain them, but it was just one of the brothers trying to see if I wanted something. Alhamdulillah. So I locked the door. Hopefully they won't think I died in here. Anywho, so we need to then, you know, abandon this idea of over-attachment to the worldly life. This is the concept of a stranger. And so we are in this world as strangers. A stranger is always ready. A stranger is always ready to go home. He's always longing for home. He's always looking forward to the moment he enters through the door of his house and he looks around at his sofa. Yes, yes. Even if the sofa is 60 years old, when you see the old sofa, the old couch, which you had, you know, used a lot, you know, a lot of your childhood, you know, childhood days, you know, around playing in the sofa, under it, behind it, next to it, in whatever other things we do as children, when you see it after many years, you feel in your heart a sense of happiness, a sense of satisfaction. And even if you're, you know, the seat or the chair which you have at work may be way more comfortable, you will still feel that this couch, this sofa is where you truly belong. The same way we have such tendencies and such inclinations, this is what we need to develop concerning the life to come. This is what we need to develop. We need to remain strangers in this world, longing for paradise, longing for entering paradise, longing for seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, longing for seeing the Prophet of Allah. How wonderful would it be, how beautiful would it be, if you were sitting in Jannah, and you know, you can, Jesus is there, and Moses is there, and Abraham is there, and Jacob, and Joseph, and you know, David, and Solomon, and if you imagine if you were in the company, if you were in the company of the elite, they're not 50 cents, it's not going to be Tupac, it's not going to be Biggie Smalls, it's not going to be Christina Aguilera, it's not going to be any of these people. Are not the people of Jannah, these are the people of Jahannam, unless Allah guide them. Unless Allah guide them. If we choose the company of these people in this dunya, even if we're not physically with them, even if we choose them through our choices with what we like to spend our time doing, then we will be in their company in the life to come. And if we choose the company of the prophets, then inshallah we will be in the company of the prophets. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mar'u ma man ahab." The man or the woman will be in the company of those who he loves or those whom they love. If you love the prophets and the messengers truly, then inshallah you will be with them in Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. And nothing is too much for Allah. This is not impossible for Allah. This is not far-fetched. And we need to have such expectations. We need to develop these expectations. If we're not strangers, we will never develop them. So a Muslim needs to make this choice. It needs to make this choice. This choice of choosing the company of the prophets and the messengers. How do you do it? وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Allahu Akbar. This is an amazing ayah in the book of Allah. And whoever obeys Allah and the messenger, whoever obeys Allah and the messenger, then he will be or she will be in the company of those whom Allah has bestowed His favors and blessings and grace upon, from among the prophets and among the truthful and among the martyrs and the scholars and among the righteous. And what an excellent company is the company of those. So Allah opened the door for everyone. Anyone who obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam unconditionally, if you obey Allah and His Messenger, you are guaranteeing yourself by Allah's grace the company of the prophets. But brothers and sisters, those who have such expectations are the strangers. They are not those who feel that the dunya is home. They are not those who feel that this dunya is their home. It is those who are longing and looking forward to paradise. So they try to make this dunya means of accumulating good deeds, not accumulating degrees. Means of accumulating good deeds, not means of accumulating degrees. The degree is nice if righteous deeds are there as well. But to be focusing on education, to be focusing on worldly status while ignoring the life to come and the true home, this is the transaction of the loser. This is the transaction of the loser. The second advice or quality which the Prophet ﷺ advised Ibn Umar to be like is that of the traveler. A traveler is a very interesting individual. I'm sure predominantly most of you have traveled before. And you know, when you travel, as they always advise you, travel light. Right? They always say travel light. Yani, it does not make any sense if you are going on a 2 week vacation that you pack your refrigerator. Huh? You pack your air condition, your refrigerator, your bathtub, you get your stove, you get your toaster, your juice mixer, you get, you know, your dining table. Have you ever seen anyone do that? What would we say to someone who, if they were to travel, they would take with them their whole house furniture? We would say, you are cuckoo. You got some problems over there somewhere upstairs. Huh? It does not make any sense. A human being who takes him or her to make it to their destination with the least hassle. I know some people who even hate to take a bag, a luggage. I'm one of them. If I'm given a choice between traveling with a luggage or traveling hands-free, where I don't even have to carry anything, I'll say anytime, I would prefer to go hands-free. And anything I need, I would prefer to buy it on the way. Because you don't like carrying stuff, you know? We naturally do not like carrying stuff. Well, maybe I'm extreme, of course. But generally speaking, you just want to get to your destination with a peace of mind. So you get your passport, you get your, you know, your money, your card, your ID, whatever, your ticket. And you take the necessary, your toothbrush, you know, your toothpaste, your brush, the things which are fundamental, the things that are, you know, extremely important for you to travel. Anything beyond that is overburdening. Anything beyond that will defeat the purpose. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling Ibn Umar, and in turn telling us, be in this dunya like a traveler. You be in this dunya like a traveler. So you don't carry, you don't overburden yourself with material which will make the process of traveling complicated. You don't take things which will prevent you from getting there quickly. That also indicates that we should not become too attached to the world. We should not overburden ourselves with worldly attachments, because these worldly attachments will prevent us from preparing for the life to come. It will prevent us from preparing for the moment of death, and consequently it will prevent us from preparing for that which will help us make our journey simple and practical. And the believer is wise and intelligent. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be believers. After Allah's grace and guidance, a believer must have some intellect to accept the truth. Only silly people don't accept the truth, really. Even if they think they're intelligent, this is false intelligence. Anyone who rejects the religion of Allah has false intelligence. True intelligence is that you know why you were created, where you're going, and what you need to do to get there. Now that is a smart person. Not someone who talks a lot, or someone who gets philosophical. It's someone who does the job. These are the smart individuals. So a believer then is like a traveler in the dunya. We do not overburden ourselves with the worldly life. We take what is necessary, what is important, and that which does not become an obstacle between us and our final destination. Now, if you want to get the practical understanding of this narration, then it is important to listen to the comments of Ibn Umar who narrated this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Back to the night. Do not expect the morning. This is understanding. His understanding is that if you live in night, do not think that you will make it to the night. By Allah, I'm swearing, by Allah, I'm asking you, by Allah, which one of us here, speaking or listening, actually wakes up in the morning thinking, this could be my last morning, I may not make it to the evening? Or which one of us makes it to the evening and before he sleeps or she sleeps, they say, I will not make it to the morning. I may not make it to the morning. Allah al-musta'an. Allah al-musta'an. Maybe sometimes we never even think like that. Maybe these thoughts don't even cross our minds. Subhanallah. Total heedlessness. Total, absolute heedlessness from the reality of death. Death which does not know old or young. Death which does not know male or female, death which does not make a distinction between a rich or the poor, between the VIP and those who are not VIP, it does not make a distinction between anything or anyone. With death, everyone goes. When the angel of death comes by Allah's command and decree, he does not go through checkpoints. He is not having any discussions with the bodyguards. He is not having any debates with the soldiers of the president. He is going straight to his destination, snatching that soul out of the body. No one, no doctor, no human being, no bodyguard can do a single thing at all. Death does not make distinctions between people. Death comes by Allah's command. And each one of us is going to have his or her moment. This is what we need to internalize. While we're speaking and listening, each one of us' time has already been written by Allah, and we don't know when it will be. Wallahi, so many people are dying of car accidents. Anytime you go out driving, it may be the last time you drive. Day. Perhaps someone will button his shirt in the morning, or the woman who wash the dead will be the ones unbuttoning his shirt or her shirt. You button your shirt in the morning and you are clueless that someone will be unbuttoning the shirt for you later on, a few hours later. We were clueless at the time of putting it on. And the same applies to everything else. So this is the reality of death. And when we know that it's coming, then we do not procrastinate. So those of us who are involved in sin, and each one of us has his own share. None among each perfect that disobey. However, those of us who disobey Allah, then let us know that the Prophet ﷺ said, كل ابن آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون. Every son of Adam has a share of sins. Every son of Adam is a sinner. But the best of those who sin are the ones who repent. The best of those who sin are those who repent. So we need to repent to Allah. We need to be in the state of tawbah 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, and 365 days a year. Every single moment, we should be ready for tawbah. Every time we disobey Allah, we should realize that we have done something wrong. Guilt should overtake us, and sincere repentance should be established on the spot. This is the true sense of preparing for death. That we truly believe that any moment could be our last moment. So we don't say, oh, I have time. No, brother, no, sister, we do not have time. We do not know when it will be our time to go away. So we should be ever ready and ever prepared for that moment. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, in reinforcing this concept, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Every soul shall taste death. Listen, listen to what Allah is saying to you and I. Every soul shall taste death. But you will only be paid your full wages on the day of resurrection. So whosoever is moved away from the fire and admitted to paradise has truly already attained success. Has truly already attained success. And verily this life of this world is nothing but false deception. The true successful people are those who go to paradise. And the true losers are those who go to the hellfire. And the people who will go to paradise are the people of tawbah, the people of repentance, the people of mindfulness, the people of preparation for the life to come, the strangers, the travelers, the wayfarers, the believers in Allah and His messengers, the obedient to Allah and His messenger, those who act upon the sunnah, live upon the sunnah, teach the sunnah, practice the sunnah, love the sunnah, and live a sunnah, even if they wind up going against the entire universe. If the sunnah and the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is of such, then we go with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, irrespective of how the rest of the creatures feel concerning that. These are those who will go, these are the ultimate, successful people, and the ultimate individuals who will enter paradise without accountability. Because of this total submission, this is the Siddiq, the supremely truthful one, the one who believes so much that he never second doubts Afwan, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never, or she never second doubts the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he told us that, أَكْثِرُ مِن ذِكْرِ هَذِي مِن لَذَّاتِ. Remember abundantly the destroyer of pleasures, the death. He's speaking about death. Remember death abundantly. He is the one who recommended and who commanded us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa taala. And he told us the reward of those who repent. Many different references can be given from the Quran and the Sunnah to teach and fortify the concept of preparing for death. But of course, time does not allow me to elaborate furthermore. So in summary, brothers and sisters in Islam, let us make tonight a night in which we change. Let tonight be the night where we acquire two superb and excellent and pleasing to Allah qualities. Strange, the quality of being a stranger, and the quality of being a traveler. We want to be strangers, as in we don't belong in this worldly life, we belong in the life to come, we belong to Jannah, so we are always looking forward to it. And a traveler, one who does not overburden himself with too many things to carry, which will complicate his traveling process and progress. It is someone who travels light to make it to their destination with a peace of mind. How do we acquire the quality of being strange and the quality of being a traveler? How do we acquire the quality of being a stranger and the quality of being a traveler? We do so by remembering death. And when we remember death, we abandon postponing repentance. Rather, we hasten to repent to Allah, because we know death can come any second, and we need to leave in the state of being prepared. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us this basic understanding, and better yet, to grant us the ability to act upon this basic understanding truly and sincerely for His sake, to enable us to live by these teachings and teach them to others, and to make us among His successful. successful slaves in this life and in the life to come, and to join us in the company of them, and all the prophets and messengers that preceded them, in the highest point of paradise, in Firdaus, where those who will live there will have such bliss and such delight and such entertainment that cannot be described in words. It cannot be elaborated upon by the most eloquent of people. It is something that the Prophet ﷺ had told us through the Hadith al-Qudsi, which is the statement of Allah. Allah has prepared for His righteous servants what no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and has never ever come across a human's mind. Something beyond our imagination is waiting for us in Jannah. All we have to do is take it easy. Give precedence to the obedience of Allah and His Messenger over our personal whims and desires and intellect and logic and choices. This is the ultimate result. And verily Allah is able to do all things. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنَ الْحَمْدِ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ وَبَارَكْ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ مُحَمَّدِ. If you have any questions, inshallah, we can entertain them. I don't have much time. I have 5 minutes actually. Then I need to make it to Salatul Isha here in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. So let's make them quick and to the point. What is Jews believe regarding Prophet Musa and Uzair? Well, the question is, what do the Jews believe regarding Prophet Musa and Uzair? The Jews are of different denominations. As the Prophet ﷺ taught us, he said that the Jews divided into 71 sects, and the Christians divided into 72 groups or denominations and sects, and the Muslims will divide into 73, all of which will be in the fire except those who follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. Anywho, the Jews divided into 71. Among the Jews are the righteous believers. Not today, but during the time of Musa, they were among the Jews, disciples, if we may call them, of Moses, who believed in him and who helped him and who obeyed his command. And these are our brothers in faith. And the majority among them, however, were disobedient and defiantly disobedient. And they disbelieved, whether initially by rejecting Musa, like Pharaoh and Qarun and others, or they eventually disbelieved by, disobeying Moses and going against his commands and asking Allah for things which they have no right to ask and saying that they should see Allah in person and so on and so forth. So the Jews themselves were, by the way, at the time of Musa. Today, all Jews who receive the message of Islam and don't believe in it are destined to the hellfire. And all of them are wicked and evil. Also regarding Uzair, as Allah says, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرٌ إِبْنُ اللَّهِ, and among the Jews are those who said that Uzair is the son of Allah. Just like the Christians said Jesus is the son of God, among the Jews are those who said that Uzair is the son of God. This is not the belief system of all Jews, but it is the belief system of some of them. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمْ. Next question, please. How will the angel of death appear? Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best. We do not know. But the person will know. The person at the time of the... I'm not going to tell you... It's not a very wise or nice answer to say, when you die, you will know. You know what I'm saying? Because usually in other things you can tell someone, well, when it's time, you will find out. Like someone said, how is the exam? Say, when you take the exam, you will know. But I'm not going to tell you, when you die you will know. I'm sure you want to know beforehand. But I don't know, we don't have any explanation, explicit explanation from the Quran and Sunnah that says how the angel of death will appear. It just indicates that the person will know, that he will see angels usually, and they will, take out the soul, and Allah knows best about the actual application of these events. Assalamu alaykum, brother. One of the Shaykhs al-Sunnah said that there is no flag, there is no flags and no jihad. Also, no mention Afghanistan, also Iraq. What do you think? Do you think so? Ahl-Sunnah said that there is no flag, then no jihad. Also, no mention Afghanistan, also Iraq. Wallahi, I don't understand the question. So, I'm just going to go to the next one. One day I got up too early for Fajr, but prayed it anyway. Thought I heard my alarm, but did not. I later prayed again in its correct time. Does the premature salah count as tahajjud salah instead of Fajr? Allahu a'lam. The asl is the niyyah. The intention is a requirement for the act of worship to be valid. But we hope that Allah Azza wa Jal, through His generosity, will accept that premature salah as something that will benefit you. But it will not count as Fajr because one of the conditions is the entrance of time, and you prayed before the entrance of time, and Allah knows best. Josh, how did Jesus did not die? And this is explicitly mentioned in the Quran. Allah says in the Quran in a number of occasions, one of them in Surah An-Nisa, the chapter of women, وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. They neither killed him nor did they crucify him. They neither killed him, مَا قَتَلُوهُ. This is the evidence. They did not kill Jesus. But Allah says later on, بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Nay, but God raised Jesus up to Himself. So we Muslims believe that Jesus is alive. He is in the heavens. Not as many people think that God is in the heaven and Jesus is next to God. God is not in the heaven. God is above the creation. Heaven is one of the creation of God, and God is not in His creation. He is above His creation totally, separate and separated from them. Jesus is in the heaven alive. We Muslims believe He will come back at the end of time as one of the final signs of the Day of Judgment. As one of the final signs of the Day of Judgment, He will live His life with peace. Peace will spread upon earth as well. He will die like every soul shall die, and He will be resurrected, and He will be among the inhabitants of paradise. But as of the moment, we Muslims believe Jesus is alive. He was not killed. He was not crucified. Allah saved Him from the plot of the Jews, and Allah honored Him by raising Him to the heaven, and Allah will send Him back down before the end of time. And I hope that answers your question, Mr. Josh. You're most welcome. We'd like to see you here again, Josh. Did Lucifer see Allah? Well, Lucifer, we don't really, and they call him Lucifer, he's Satan, whatever. It's the same thing, Shaitan. We don't have any evidence which suggests that Iblis saw Allah. So this is something which we cannot speak of, because we don't have any textual evidence concerning it. We just leave it alone, and Allah knows best. I'm happy you did, Josh. I'm happy you did. Okay, guys, it's prayer time on my side. I need to get going. I look forward to having another session with you, inshallah, this coming Friday. And for those who can't make it to the Friday class, and inshallah ta'ala next Tuesday. Wa jazakum Allahu khayran for your patience. And may Allah bless you and keep you all firm upon His religion. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.